Corey Graham, voice of the Oil Kings. Corey, how are you doing today, my friend?
Mark, I'm well, thank you, and I apologize for missing out a few minutes ago on the show, so I appreciate you rescheduling that.
Oh, anything for you, Corey. I understand it's a very busy day. It was a busy night last night. We're going to get to the game last night, but I want to ask you, TJ Foster signs a deal with the Toronto Marlies of the American Hockey League. Now, you obviously saw TJ in his time with the Oil Kings, slightly less with his time with the Golden Bears, but obviously a good move for TJ Foster, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Great for him to see, you know, a guy that was close to being a pro player, I think, coming out of junior hockey. You know, had a tryout with the Washington Capitals, ended up deciding to go to the University of Alberta, which, you know, clearly worked out well for him.
Yeah.
A two-time national champion and, you know, player of the year in the Canada West. So, and a guy I think that you know, sometimes it takes a little while for guys to kind of get to that next level. He needs to play against older players and, you know, build up some strength and some stuff like that. So, great to see. I mean, it's good to see a guy like that get a chance at the next level, and, you know, you wish him all the best.
Yeah, of course, you'll probably have a ton more memories of TJ Foster, but to me in an Oil King uniform, was it game seven against Portland? He scored either the go-ahead goal, he scored a huge goal, just so much speed down the wing, just stopped and fired at top shelf. He has a lot of tools in his toolbox.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. It's funny, you think of that goal where he came down the wing on Matt Caruth, and he had a chance earlier in the game, the same kind of thing, and he missed, and I remember him coming down, I think it was the 4-1 or 4-0 at that point,
yeah.
Really salted things away. But yeah, I ended up going top shelf on Matt Caruth in game seven of the WHL Championship Series. And yeah, I mean, so many memories of him with all of his speed and, you know, love that fake slap shot move just inside the blue line that no matter how many times he pulled it, it seemed to work for him.
Last night, Corey, the Oil Kings stunned the world with a 4-1 victory over the Brandon Wheat Kings. Tyler Robertson scoring 11 seconds into this game. He's developing a knack for some clutch playoff goals, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's funny because it was eerily similar to the goal he scored in London last year in the second period of the Memorial Cup Championship against Guelph. It was right off a face-off. The puck just kind of came right to him, and he snapped it top shelf over the goaltender's glove. And, you know, the Oil Kings, that was huge. I think that kind of shocked the whole building a little bit. It was interesting talking to some of the locals before the game, Mark. A lot of people were nervous about Edmonton coming to town, and they were asking me how nervous the Oil Kings were, and I'm like, I don't think Edmonton's nervous at all. They're ready to go. It's just another game for them, and that's kind of the way they took it. You know, the Wheat Kings, to me, were a little bit nervous, and then obviously you get a goal that quick into the hockey game, and it puts you on your heels. And, you know, give the Oil Kings credit for coming out, killed off a couple penalties in that first period, and were able to really play the game they wanted to play here on the road.
You mentioned that goal really kind of sucked the air out of the building just 11 seconds in. I was watching a little bit on WHL Live last night, and you've called a couple of games in Brandon, but the crowd really wasn't great last night in Brandon, wasn't it?
Oh, it was horrendous. It, you know, 3,000, or just over 3,000 people, and, you know, way off their season average, and one of the lowest playoff crowds ever they had out here, like people were saying. So I'm not sure what it was. You know, Thursday night, game one, the only game on the WHL schedule. You got the best team in the league. You know, they're playing the defending champs. You get the trophy presentation of the regular season. I have no idea why it was so poorly attended last night. And I think it's going to be better tonight here on a Friday. But, man, it was disappointing. You know, you expect a kind of a crazy barn and the atmosphere around a team that, you know, this week Kings team is built to win. And you would think they'd you know, people would be excited about that game. But obviously not last night. Maybe we'll see it tonight. And looking forward to see what happens in Edmonton on Sunday, especially, man, if the Oil Kings could somehow come out of here with a 2-0 lead, I would love to see what the crowd looks like Sunday for Game 3 of this series.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. You mentioned Game 2 goes tonight. Corey Graham, voice of the Oil Kings, joins us. I thought Brandon would come out flying like a bat out of hell last night. Didn't really happen, but I expect him to do that again tonight. How much pressure is on Tristan Jarry to keep the Oil Kings afloat in the first period of tonight's game?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the storyline of the series, Mark, for sure. And that's kind of the way he played last game. I mean, he made a save in that first period, which, I mean, there's a line out there of the overhead shot of Rihard's Bukharts putting him between his legs and basically looks like a tap-in goal, but Jarry swung his back right leg along the goal line and kept it out. And, you know, he's going to need to be that good again. He was, I think he got in the heads a little bit of the Wheat Kings shooters. They didn't fire a lot of pucks at him. Normally, you know, Brandon's a team that loves to shoot, but they only had 26 last night and only 5 in the third period as well, which just shocked me, to be quite honest with you. I thought they were going to push really hard coming out after 40 after getting a goal to make it 2-1 late in that second frame. But, you know, give the Oil Kings credit. Defensively, they locked it down, and they're going to have to do that because, you know, this Wheat Kings team is, you know, it's a setback at home. Clearly in a 2-3-2 format, this game is, you don't want to say it's a must-win for Brandon, but it's crucial. I mean, you don't want to go on the road for 3 games potentially and be down 2-0 to a team that has the experience of Edmonton. And I would expect you're going to see the best Wheat Kings team you can tonight.
Corey, if you take travel out of it, and just as someone who watches sports and follows it, do you like the 2-3-2 format?
I do if you're the lower seed.
Yes, exactly.
If you're the lower seed and you can get a split, granted, saying that you can win three games at home is, that's hard to do anyway, yeah. But still to have that kind of in your back pocket that you're going back home for three games, and especially if you manage to get one on the road, you have a chance to really kind of put the other team in some trouble. But I've never really understood why a top team would want to do it. And again, it's not necessarily just for travel in this series. It has to do with the farm fair that comes out here in Brandon, that game five would have been unavailable for their building. Okay. So instead of playing it last year, they scheduled to play it, and so I think it was in Verdon, Manitoba, at a junior A rink. So instead of doing that this year, they wanted all the games here at Westman Place. So Brandon elected for the 2-3-2, and I wonder if they're maybe rethinking that strategy here a little bit after dropping game one.
Well, Brandon I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they were pretty solid at home this season, weren't they?
Yeah, they only lost three games in regulation.
Oh, wow.
On home ice, a few in overtime and a shootout, but a team like that, you would expect would take care of business at home.
Yeah.
And, I really thought they're coming off a game two at the end of the regular season where they beat Moose Jaw. It was 9-2, I think it was, 9-3. It was a statement game, and I thought you were going to see a statement game early here as well. Now, the Wheat Kings are banged up, too. They're missing some guys out of the lineup, and there's a lot of talk here of a pretty good flu going through the team. But, all teams go through that, and you have to deal with it. I know Edmonton had that a couple times last year, including at the Memorial Cup in London, where there was a pretty good flu going through the team. So, that's all part of the game. So, I guess for their sake, you hope they can get healthy and have their best team. But if you're Edmonton, you need to take advantage of that.
Corey Graham joining us. Game two between the Oil Kings and Wheat Kings goes tonight at Puck Drop just after 6:30. Pregame show going to be at 6 o'clock. Corey, Brett Pollock scored the goal to make it 2-0 and also the goal to restore the two-goal lead at 3-1. He had 3 points. He was great all over the ice for the Oil Kings last night. Was that his best game as a member of the Oil Kings?
Yeah, him and Lane Bauer have been good all year, but clutch situation, Mark, you're right. They were fantastic, and I thought the best part about their game was their compete level. And if you want to criticize a part of Pollock's game, sometimes it could be that he's just an offensive player. But when he plays like that last night, he was back checking, he was throwing hits, he was involved, and when he does that, he's an elite player in this league, and that's what he's going to need to do. They're going to rely upon him to do it. I know he's up to the task. He's chomping at the bit to get going here again tonight. So him and Lane Bauer, have complemented each other so well this year. And, Edgar Skolda, I thought, had his moments as well in that game. But that line is going to have to be the line that really propels Edmonton along here, offensively at least. And, Brett Pollock's made a big part of that. And you hope for his sake he can continue that going.
One story the Oil Kings that's been following the Oil Kings all season long is they take too many penalties. Their penalty kill is 1-for-4, or 3-for-4. They only allowed the one power play goal. And their power play was actually 1-for-2. And was that... Can the special teams steal a game for the Oil Kings, Corey, or do they need the special teams to steal a game at some point?
Yeah, they're going to need to win the special teams games. You look at it, 1-1-1 last night, which is fine. I think if you're Edmonton, you'll take that for sure, going 50% on your power play and killing off 3 or 4. You can't have a game where Brandon gets 2 or 3 power play goals. You get the sense it could be coming. The Wheat Kings, they're so good offensively, and their power play is, it's just sick the way how quickly they move the puck and they transition players in and out of gaps. That's an elite power play. So they're going to score their goals. And I think for Edmonton, the number one key is, like you mentioned, stay out of the box. Don't give them a chance to work. But, I thought the Kings did a pretty good job. And for the Brandon Wheat King goal, you could see was coming. Just the way they set up and the way they snapped that puck around, it was coming for the one-timer for Quenneville. And, Jari had no chance on it. You just can't give a team like Brandon those opportunities. And, when you get your chances, you need to score. And they did that last night.
A last one for you, Corey. Do you anticipate any lineup changes for either teams tonight?
I would doubt Edmonton does anything different. I know Brandon's trying to get some guys back. Reed Duke's been out with a lower body injury here for a while. I know he skated today by himself. I don't see him coming back in. Brandon's short up front. Duncan Campbell's hurt. Quentin Lizaway's out. They have a couple guys that are banged up and playing as well. They had to play Cale Clegg on the wing tonight, which was, to me, a puzzling decision to play that guy who's a 16-year-old player in this league on your top line wing when he's a defenseman. I understand you got to play somebody up front when you're shorthanded, but I don't know why you don't put another offensive player on that top line with Tim McGauley. So it'll be interesting to see if they adjust that tonight here, and if they can get a body or two back, we'll see. But I don't expect anything major for sure.
Right on, Corey. We'll be tuning in pregame show at 6 o'clock and puck drop just after 6:30. Thanks for your time today, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Mark, anytime. Appreciate you letting me come on.